Our passage this morning comes from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. You can look it up in your Bible, in your Bible app, or it'll be on the screen behind me when we get to that reading. The sermon this morning is titled, "With Great Power Comes Great Responsibility," and I stole that from Spider-Man. And so there's the scene, and these are the old ones, so some of the younger kids here might not have seen them, but in the early 2000s, maybe the 1990s, I can't remember exactly when they came out, but as Uncle Ben was dying, Peter Parker was kneeling by him, and y'all know Peter Parker is Spider-Man, right? And so Peter Parker is sitting by his Uncle Ben, who is passing away, and his Uncle Ben said to him, "With great power comes great responsibility." And so we're looking at a passage where three men have been entrusted with a lot. They've been given a lot. And we see how each of them handles it and the responsibility that they took for those things. And I think it points us to the responsibility that we have been given. And it also, I believe, through the fleshing out of this passage, we can see the power that we have in God's kingdom. So let's look now at Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. It says this, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But the master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." This is a story of faith, right? It's a story of blessing. And so these men have been blessed, each of them to their own abilities, with what the master gave them. In verse 15, it says, "To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away." The first two, they trusted that they could do something valuable with the money that they were given. And so, because they trusted that they could do something with the money, they believed that the master had given them the ability to do with it as they saw need to, they went out and they invested and they prospered. And their faith was blessed with growth. In 19, it says, "Now after a long time, the master of the house of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered me five talents. Here I have made five talents more.' His master said, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" He basically said the same thing to the second man as well. Enter into the joy of the master. He was pleased with them. Right? He said, "I will give you more. Because you were trustworthy over what I gave you, I will bless you with more." Because they trusted and they went out and they did as they felt that they were being led by the master, he said, "Enter into my joy. Enter into the master's joy." But the third person showed a lack of faith with the blessing that he had been given. In 18 it said, "But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money." He dug into the ground and hid it. So that means he had to go dig it back up when the master came back and hand it to him. It was probably dirty. I can only imagine. But this reminds me of those Depression era stories where people would take cans and stuff their money in it and go dig holes in the backyard and stick it down in the hole, sometimes not to find it again until somebody came with a metal detector and found a stash of money, but also stuffing it in mattresses. And the reason that they were doing that is because they had lost trust of the banks, because the banks hadn't done what they needed to do to protect themselves against the Depression. And so a lot of people lost a lot of wealth. So they thought that their money would be safer buried in the ground or stuffed in a mattress, right? They had a reason to distrust. This man, he said, "I believed you to be a hard man," to his master. He said, "I was afraid. I was afraid that if I lost what you gave me, you would pound me." But what the master said to him, wow. "He also had received the one talent, came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But the master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed.'" And he basically said, "I'm going to throw you out into the outer darkness." Basically, he said, "I have blessed you with this. The least you could have done is taken it to the bank and gained a little bit of interest and brought it back to me. But instead, you decided that you were going to hoard it for yourself and you were going to hide it because you were afraid." As individuals, each one of us has been blessed. We've been blessed with a wonderful country where we live. We've been blessed today with a dry, warm place to worship. Right? I saw a video the other day where this man woke up and he was wrapped in Christmas wrapping, and the light switch was wrapped in Christmas wrapping. His briefcase was wrapped in Christmas wrapping. His cereal bowl was. His car was. And basically what it was trying to say is that we should be grateful for all the presents that we have. And often we lose sight of the blessings that we have in this life. We have electricity to keep our homes warm. We have food on our tables. We have children running around the building. You know, we have grandchildren. We have spouses that love us. We have a soft place to lay our head in our beds. There are those that are struggling, but most of us have been blessed with much. We've been given much. And all of those blessings come from God. Come from God the Father. We have much to be thankful for. And we should be thinking about that this Thanksgiving as we have that chance to remember, right? So this Thanksgiving is about gathering together at the table, spending time with family, being thankful for the things that God has given us. It gives us a time to pause and watch football. Right? So we have much to be thankful for. And many of us have been truly blessed. Truly blessed with faith. And we can take our faith and we can bury it. We can sit on our hands and say, okay, God, do your work. I don't need to be involved. And say, I'm just going to mess it up and you're going to be mad at me. You know? We can do that. But we know that our faith can be fruitful. God gave us a task. In Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God has given us a powerful testimony of the love that he has shown to us. He's given us the power by the Holy Spirit to share that testimony with everybody we come in contact with, using our time, our talent, our treasures, all the blessings that he has given us. He wants us to use everything that we have to spread the good news of the gospel, which is that we have become a part of his family. When I was saying we come together on Thanksgiving to sit at a table, because we have faith in Jesus Christ, we've been adopted as sons and daughters of God, and we have been invited to his table to sit down with him, to break bread with him, to demonstrate that we have an inheritance that we did not deserve. Because the truth of the matter is that we are a blessed people because God found worth in us when we were worthless. We have sinned against him. We have run away from him. We have spit in his face and said we didn't want anything to do with him through our sin. And God said, I'm going to enter into that situation by sending my son to walk among you. And then to go to the cross and lay down his life so that you could find redemption. God is a God of redemption and mercy, restoration and love. And he demonstrated that to us when Jesus, his only son, was sacrificed on the cross. He demonstrated our worth to us in the fact that he would not even spare his own son to save us, the unworthy. He gave us worth. He gave us worth. God gave us a powerful testimony of the way that he loved us. Each one of us has a testimony how God saved us out of sin and demonstrated his love and compassion to us. So God gave us a powerful testimony and he gave us the Holy Spirit to teach it to others. And that carries with it a responsibility. And we're supposed to carry the gospel to the corners of the earth, not out of fear of obligation. Not because we think God's going to punish us. So we shouldn't hide it because we fear God. We should expose it and share it because we love him. We love him with our obedience. That's how we demonstrate our love to God. We cannot repay him for what he has done, but we can give him our obedience as a loving response for the salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you think that he would give us that task if we weren't able to accomplish it? He wouldn't have given us that task if he wasn't moving also in the lives of the people he sent us to be in touch with. It's a step of faith to share your faith and expand the blessing that he has shared with you, right? So those two men that got the two and the five talents, it was a step of faith for them to go out and try to grow that. It was a step of disobedience to bury it in the ground. And we've been blessed with much. He's given us all giftings. know, you are all gifted in different ways to share the gospel, and he's called us to be faithful with those giftings to go out. And we have two options. We can hoard our blessings, bury them, hide them away out of fear of the unknown future. Or we can step out in faith and use all that God has blessed us with to share the good news. And we've already started planning as a session the budget for the upcoming year. And we'll be starting to plan the calendar soon of events and things to do to expand the reach of our church. When I was interviewing, and even after I arrived, several people from the session said, "Dream big. Dream big." And I have dreams. And I pray that those dreams become a corporate dream. And that we would come together in one vision to grow the church. I dream that we would become an evangelist launching pad. Right? I believe that this sanctuary, this nursery, our youth rooms, our children's classrooms can burst at the seams if we are being faithful and going out and sharing the gospel. I pray that those rooms would be filled with those whose lives have been transformed by the hearing of the gospel and the transforming of their hearts to come and follow after him. As we unashamedly and openly share the gospel in the community that we've been called to serve. I pray that we will become free from debt. You know, I can't remember the name of the guy. Is Dave Ramsey? Financial freedom, right? And he said, imagine the freedom that you have when you can live without debt to generously use your resources to bless others. As a church, if we get out from under the debt that we have, we would have no fear at all in being a blessing to others. So I pray for that. I pray for thriving small groups that would grow community among the members of our church that would support one another and love one another and build each other up in the knowledge of Christ. I pray for people that are growing leaps and bounds in their knowledge and relationship of God. I pray for thriving mercy ministries that pour out of our church to reach into the lives of those that we don't know yet. I also pray that we would generate missionaries from our congregation as we grow that are willing to go out into the world and take the gospel to places that most of us would never even think of going. Pray that we would find those that are gifted and encourage them to become good ministers of the word as well. There are those among us right now that are studying to be ministers of the word, and others that we should be able to encourage as we discover that gifting. I pray that we would look forward to establishing new congregations in other places that will thrive and grow in nearby communities and become evangelistic launch pads there. I know that a healthy church focused on the gospel will be very generous with the blessings that they have been given. And they will be a blessing to others. I know that in faith we will be able to expand our influence, and that through faith we will be able to generously use the blessings in the life of our church to accomplish something that may have seemed impossible before. I think that if we act in faith and obedience to God, our Father who we love, the Master that we serve, will move powerfully on our behalf. We will look back at this time in the life of our church, and we will be able to declare that that was a time where our faith and influence exploded because God moved in the life of our congregation. It starts with being generous. It starts with saying, I have talents that I can use to bless God's kingdom. God has entrusted me with much, and I can use what he has entrusted me with to grow those blessings. And we get to give thanks for that this week. And I pray that with a thankful heart, we would gather together as families and remind ourselves of all the things that we might take for granted. And then give our lives over to God and use everything that we have to reach out and find those that do not know Him so that we can see His kingdom grow. Amen.